This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931.
Hi there, this is Clinton, VK6FCSE, and welcome to News West for the 20th of July, 2025. Now over to Ono, VK6FLAB, with another edition of Foundations of Amateur Radio.
This podcast started life in 2011 when I was asked to record a story I shared during the production of the weekly amateur radio news in Western Australia. I'd been a licensed radio amateur, or ham, for a few months and found myself surrounded by people who perceived the basic Australian Foundation amateur license wasn't worth anything. What use is an F-call is my response to that sentiment. It's produced weekly. In 2015, after long deliberation, it was renamed to Foundations of Amateur Radio, so people outside Australia might also enjoy the experience. Although most of the items stand alone, I'd recommend that you start at the beginning, in 2011, and listen in sequence. Enjoy. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo. Foundations of Amateur Radio. Recently, I was given some radio data captured on the 40-meter band. Using a piece of software called Universal Radio Hacker, I attempted to decode it. At the time, I thought that this might be Morse code. Since then, I've been told by someone who has been using Morse longer than I've been alive that it isn't. I shared the data on my VK6FLAB GitHub repository, where you can download it and see what you learn, and perhaps repeat what I did, or better still, improve on it. Over the years, I've talked a little about how software-defined radio, or SDR, works. Essentially, it's a glorified analog-to-digital converter, much like the sound card in your computer, which does the same, albeit at a much lower frequency. As it happens, you can represent the signal that comes into your radio antenna as a series of values. Essentially, the stronger the signal, the bigger the number. The weaker the signal, the lower the number. Let's talk about the characteristics of this signal. It consists of two parallel signals, in opposition to each other. The first signal jumps intermittently between 7 kHz and 40 kHz, where the second jumps between minus 7 kHz and minus 40 kHz. The recording is marked 7.0 MHz, so if we think of that as the central frequency, the whole signal sits between 7.02 and 7.1 MHz. This 80 kHz wide signal is not something you'd typically be able to hear using a standard amateur radio receiver, which tops out at about 3 kHz bandwidth. It's so wide that you couldn't even hear more than one of the four tones at the same time. Randall, Victor Kilo 6 Whiskey Romeo, who supplied the recording, spotted it on a waterfall display showing a chunk of radio spectrum. In fact, a $25 RTL SDR dongle could receive this signal. Aside from the fact that this is a really wide signal, well, at least in traditional amateur radio terms, it was interesting in that it was heard on the 40-meter band. As it happens, just after I shared my initial exploration, I was told by several other amateurs that they had heard the signal. I even saw it on a web SDR in India and attempted to record it, but failed. As it happens, a few weeks ago, I was playing with something called CAN bus, or Controller Area Network, a technology that was designed in 1983 and is used all over cars for things like sensors for speed, engine temperature, oxygen level, detonation timing, and anything else that's happening inside a car. You might know the end-user view of this called OBD2, or Onboard Diagnostics Second Generation. I was looking into it because my car has been acting up and I've been trying to track down the root cause. Anyway, I learned that CAN bus is implemented using something neat, differential signalling, where two wires each carry the same but opposite signal, so they can be combined to ensure that in an electrically noisy environment, like a car, the information still gets where it needs to go. Seeing the radio signal Randall shared reminded me of this. Noise immunity is a useful attribute in digital HF communication, so I can understand why it was done like this, but it also means that either signal was sufficient to start to decode the information. we can use Universal Radio Hacker to show us only half the signal using a band pass filter. I then decided that the 40 kHz frequency was on and represented by a 1, and the 7 kHz frequency was off, represented by a 0. Of course, that's entirely arbitrary. There's no reason that it cannot be the other way around, but for our purposes, it doesn't matter at this time. That said, we don't yet have enough to decode the actual signal. We need to figure out how long each switch, or bit, lasts, because two zeros side by side, or two ones side by side, would look like a long off or a long on. Using that logic, you could also say that the shortest possible duration for a 40 kHz or a 7 kHz tone would represent a single 1 or a single 0. Of course, this is a simplified view of the world. For example, the data file contains more than 13.5 million bytes. Half of those are for the I in IQ, the other for the Q. I am purposefully glossing over a bunch of stuff here, specifically the notion of so-called IQ signals. That's for another time. In computing, a single byte can represent 256 different values. It means that if the signal is represented by a single byte, a voltage from the antenna at maximum amplitude can be represented as 255, and the minimum amplitude as 0. As it happens, voltages go up and down around zero, so now we're only using half a byte, 127 for maximum, minus 128 for minimum. If we use two bytes, we get significantly more resolution. Minus 32,768 is the minimum, and 32,767 as the max. A little trial and error using another tool, in Spectrum, told me that the data was organized as 2 bytes per sample. Which brings the next point. How many samples per signal? Said differently, we're measuring the antenna voltage several times per second. Let's say twice per second. If a tone of 7 kHz lasts a second, then we get 2 samples showing 7 kHz. If it lasts half a second, we only get 1. As it happens, we are measuring over 22,000 times per second, and using the cursor feature on Universal Radio Hacker, we can determine that each signal lasts 2,500 samples. It's roughly a rate of 100 bits per second. The In Spectrum tool puts it at 91.81 baud. It's not a standard baud rate, sitting between 75 and 110 baud. Using Universal Radio Hacker, I was able to decode 1,416 bits. You'll find them on my GitHub page next to the signal. Now for the fun. What does it mean? I started with looking for structure by looking for zeros. In short order, I discovered several sequences of zero. Then I noticed that there appeared to be a repeating pattern. After some trial and error using the grep and fold commands on my Linux terminal, I discovered that the pattern repeats, more or less, every 255 bits. I say more or less because there are a few bits that are not the same. I suspect that this is a decoding error, which could potentially have been eliminated by using the noise immunity features associated with the differential signaling. But I don't yet know how to do that. Here's what I think I'm looking at. It appears to be a signal that's a unique identifier, specifically so that it can be used to synchronize two things together. In this case, I suspect that it's an over-the-horizon radar, and the sequence is used to synchronize the transmitter and the receiver. I think that the signal's strength variations are what allows reflections to be measured, and I suspect that the actual transmitter and receiver are using more than 2 bytes to represent each sample. But I'm speculating. If you have an alternative explanation, I'm all ears. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo. Lima.
This is News West. Your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG Technical and General Net. Having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750, or Channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
Dear Ham members, it's time to get excited. The Northern Corridor Radio Group, NCRG, is thrilled to launch our 2025 Hamfest fundraising raffle, and you're invited to join in the fun while supporting our club's future. With over $3,000 in prizes up for grabs, this is your chance to win big while giving back to the community that keeps us on the air. Here's what you need to know. Raffle website. Purchase your tickets online at https://rafflelink.com.o/hamfest-raffle-225prize. Pool. First prize. $2,000 Andrews Communications voucher. Choose from a wide range of amateur. Radio gear. Second prize. $699 Comtech voucher. Upgrade your shack with top tier. EQU IPM, EN to third prize. Elinco DJC RX7H E handheld radio, valued at $229. Fourth prize, $200 Comtech store credit ticket prices. $5 for one ticket, $10 for two tickets, $20 for four tickets, $1.40 for eight tickets, $80 for 16 tickets, $100 for 20 tickets, $250 for 50 tickets important dates. Ticket sales open June 25th, 2025. Online and cash sales close August 31st, 2025. Cash sales end at 11 a.m. at the Cyril Jackson Recreation. Center permit holder only. Draw date August 31st, 2025. At noon during Hamfest 2025, ticket sales permitted while Konzi, QLD, NSW.say.tas, VicVic61904WA, LS22327402-5 Northern Corridor Radio Groups, Inc., is a responsible community organization following the Gaming and Wagering Commission Act, 1987. Where to view? Results, NCRG website, http://ncrg.info/wp/raffle-raffle-link page. http://rafflelink.com.o/hamfest-225. All ticket packages comply with WOMIA's DRGLS regulations and are processed securely via Raffle Link on behalf of the Northern Corridor Radio Group, Inc. Let's make this raffle our most successful yet. Every ticket sold helps fund NCRG's ongoing projects, events, and upgrades, all while giving you the chance to walk away with some top-notch gear. Act now and grab your tickets before they're gone. The clock is ticking, and the draw is just around the corner on August 31st. Best regards, Matthew McDonough, VK6ML, Vice President, NCRG 043602-2860.
Commencing on Friday the 24th of October and concluding on Monday the 27th of October 2025, the VKFF team are hosting the third annual VKFF National Get Together. This year, the Get Together is being held in Canberra. The VKFF National Get Together is an event for those interested in the Worldwide Flora and Fauna Park Program, no matter if you are a beginner or an experienced park activator or hunter. Previous Get Togethers have been held in Renmark, South Australia, and Bendigo, Victoria, and these proved to be very popular. This year's event in Canberra will kick off with an evening meal on Friday night at the Lighthouse Pub in Belconnen. On Saturday, a series of presentations will be delivered during the day on various topics relating to the WWFF program and operating portable. This will be held at the Eastlake Football Club. A raffle will be held on Saturday with some excellent prizes, including transceivers. On Saturday evening, a dinner function will be held at the Eastlake Football Club. This includes a guest speaker. On Sunday, a barbecue breakfast will be held at Black Mountain Peninsula Barbecue Area. This will be followed by a link dipole construction session. Sunday afternoon, we'll see a large number of amateurs heading out into the field to activate VKFF parks. Four experienced VKFF park activators have volunteered to take less experienced park activators out to some of the ACT parks to show them some of the tips in successfully activating a VKFF park. On Sunday evening, a dinner will be held at the Gungahlin Lakes Golf Club. The get-together will conclude on Monday with some visits to the Royal Australian Mint and the Australian War Memorial. You must register to attend this event. Walk-ups will not be accepted. You can attend whatever part of the get-together you choose, but you must register. More information on the 2025 VKFF National Get-Together can be found on the WWFF Australia website at www.ffaustralia.com. Many thanks for listening. 73, Paul VK5 Papa Alpha Sierra, the VKFF National Coordinator.
Good morning, fellow amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is Roy VK6XW Victor for the 20th of July 2025. Today I have the following: a multimedia speaker system. It's a Creative GigaWorks Series 2 type Tango 40 multimedia loudspeaker system and consists of two loudspeakers. Each channel has 16 watt output. Three speaker drivers in each box gives a flat response from 50 Hz to 20 kHz. Give your computer hi-fi audio. It retails for $250, yours for only $75. A location in Balladura. Please contact Clive, VK6CSW, and you can contact Clive on his email, which is Charlie Sierra Whiskey Alpha Lima Lima, India Sierra, at hotmail.com. For further details, or you can search Creative GigaWorks Tango 40 Series 2 loudspeakers on the internet. You won't be disappointed with the audio from these speakers. The next item I have is from yet another deceased estate, and I have the follower: Kenwood Tango Sierra 180 Sierra SSB HF transceiver with power supply, PS30 power supply, $300 for that. An ICOM an ICOM 22H VHF transceiver, $120. There's a Philips FM92 VHF transceiver programmed with West Australian repeater frequencies, $80. All prices are negotiable, and you may contact via email to Sierra Zulu Charlie Zulu Delta Papa Sierra at gmail.com. A bit complicated, I'll say that again. Sierra Zulu Charlie Zulu Delta Papa Sierra at gmail.com. Next group of items comes from Chick VK6ZAI. He has a Yaesu Fox Tango 840 transceiver plus manual, $900 for that, never been used. There's a Yaesu Fox Tango 301 Delta transceiver plus manuals, a Yaesu Fox Papa power supply, a Yaesu Fox Charlie antenna tuning unit, all the above, three items, $300. And also has a Yaesu Fox Tango 1000 Mic Papa Mark 5 with all the complements of filters and all the manuals, a Yaesu Fox Papa 29 power supply to suit that unit, a Yaesu Sierra Papa 8 external speaker with the filtering units, and all the above, all those items, $3,000. It also has a Heathkit Sierra Papa 610 monitor scope, $150. 100-foot self-support. The 100-foot self-support tower is at $2,000. A Romeo Lima Kilo Lima 500 linear amplifier, 300 watts AM and 600 watt sideband, $500 for that, never been used also. There's also a 12-volt 50-amp power supply, very heavy duty, $150 for that. And a 300 watt linear amplifier, $200. In addition, there's a Barrett, a Sierra Bravo 250 Charlie transceiver plus auto tune antenna, $250. and all equipment is either as new or very good condition, and prices are O-N-O. Contact Chick, VK6ZAI, on his landline, which is 08-9625-1335. Again, 08-9625-1335. Then our mobile is 049-001-3464. 049-001-3464. Next, we have from Wayne, VK6FoxTango, the following: a Yaesu FoxTango 990 transceiver complete with microphone, original box and manual, $600. Is an ICOM IC706 Mark IIG multiband HF, VHF, UHF transceiver with microphone, $600. There's an ICOM IC208H dual band 2 meter 70 centimeter mobile with microphone, $150. There's an ICOM IC229 hotel 2 meter 50 watt mobile transceiver FM with manual, mounting bracket and mic, $50. There's also an ICOM Papa Sfera 125 power supply, 13.8 volt at 25 amp, $80. There's an ICOM Sierra Mic 8 dual radio desk microphone, $150. You may contact Wayne on 0423 185032. Again, 0423 185032. And that is all I have for you for today. It's enough to go around anyway. And if you would like to contact me for next week, please do so. The email address, victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. I'll say again, more clearly, victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. That wasn't much better than the first try, but that's my address. If you want to contact me, please do. And until next time we meet, 7-3 from VK6XV.
Hi there, it's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWestWeeklyPodcast-KiloZulu7YankeeCharlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.